Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, also from MRM. It was back in May of 2011, I attended a Mormon History Association meeting down in St. George, Utah, and I happened to be walking around in the book section, and I picked up Dr. Robert Millett's newest book. I understand it to be the newest book. It's dated 2010, called Modern Mormonism, Myths and Realities. I've read a lot of Robert Millett's books, and one of the things that tends to, well, if I can be so blunt as to say, irritates me, is how Dr. Millett has a tendency to constantly drop Christian names as if somehow these Christians that he is citing believe like Mormons. And one of those names that is often dropped by Dr. Millett and by Mormons in general is C.S. Lewis. So much so that there was an article actually written by a Mormon by the name of Evan Stevenson, and he wrote an article that was in Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought, back in 1997, and it was titled The Last Battle, C.S. Lewis and Mormonism. I really would encourage a lot of Mormons to read this article because Evan Stevenson tends to bring out a lot of very valid criticisms showing that C.S. Lewis was not really the closet Mormon that many Mormons tend to think. He starts off his article by saying, "It is common for members of the LDS Church to regard C.S. Lewis, the famous Anglican writer, as a Mormon in embryo, who, if he were to have read the Book of Mormon, would have seen his life's work retold by its prophets and would have joined the church without hesitation. It is common to think of him as a man, quote, who's Mormon but doesn't know it," end quote. Now, in his book, C.S. Lewis is cited by Robert Millett. And Eric, why don't you explain how he is cited? And let's talk about something called ellipses.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, you have to understand, this book is really short. It's 100 pages. This can be read, and like I just read it in a couple of days, and I didn't get very far. The third page of this book on the Latin numeral 15 in the introduction, this is what he wrote. He says, "I believe one major reason why C.S. Lewis is so well received and so often quoted by Latter-day Saints is his broad and inclusive vision of Christianity. We resonate with Lewis's words, quote, it is not for us to say who, in the deepest sense, is or is not close to the Spirit of Christ. We do not see into men's hearts. We cannot judge and are indeed forbidden to judge. It would be wicked arrogance for us to say that any man is or is not a Christian in this refined sense." And then we get to the ellipses.
Let's stop right there, because you and I would agree that we are, when I'm talking to somebody, I don't usually come out and write and tell them, you know, you're not a Christian, okay?
Well, we put that in our symposium, Bill. We speak on this throughout the churches, and we make it very clear. Do not go up to a Latter-day Saint and use that, because those are fighting words.
Well, certainly, because many times Mormons do take that as a definition for moralism. And if you say that they're not Christian, they'll automatically assume that you're saying that they're not moral people. It's not something I normally say. However, if I am talking to somebody and they make statements that make it very clear that they do not hold to Christian teaching, I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing that up. Now, let me give you an example. A while back, I was being interviewed on a television show, and it was a call-in show, and a woman called up and told us on the phone that she converted to Mormonism from a Baptist background. And so she was going on and explaining and you know, how she had, you know, converted to Mormonism and such. So I started asking her some questions about what she believed. And one of the questions, if I remember correctly, and I'm paraphrasing it because it was a while back, but it had the essence of, I asked her, well, do you believe that Jesus is God? And she said something to the effect that she never believed that. And I said to her, well, then you weren't even a Christian when you were a Baptist. And what I was trying to get across is that is a fundamental teaching of the Christian faith, is to believe that Jesus is God, God come in the flesh. And if she never believed that, then she missed one of the primary teachings of biblical Christianity. So I think I was fair in drawing that conclusion based on what she said. Now, of course, I'm sure she took offense to that, and I know one Mormon at least took offense to it because he wrote me a nasty email afterwards. Yeah. But I think I was perfectly within my rights, just the same as if I claimed to be a Mormon, and yet I didn't believe the fundamental tenets of Mormonism, I would say that a Mormon has every right to challenge my claim to Mormonism. And this is often lost on many Latter-day Saints. So anyway.
Well Bill, what's the dividing line? Real quick. I mean, so a lot of Mormons look at Protestant denominations and say, you guys don't agree on a lot of things. Like some like to worship on Saturdays, others on Sundays. Some like to sing hymns, others like to sing contemporary choruses. What is it that would be a dividing line for you?
Well, there's basic teachings of the Orthodox faith that we all hold to, and that is who is God the Father, who is Jesus. In other words, our view of the Godhead is very important. All of the major traditions of Christianity all hold to the Trinitarian viewpoint. The object of salvation, as far as we are saved by grace through faith, grace alone through faith alone. These are, of course, very important aspects.
Authority of the Bible might be one.
Authority of the Bible would be one, because, of course, when you start getting away from that, then you open the door for all sorts of things. And if a Mormon wants to believe he can have extra biblical material, I would say, okay, but does this extra biblical material conflict with what God has already revealed in the Bible? Because if it does, it can't have the same source. And if it says the same thing, why do we really even need it? So I don't think they win on that one.
And one other thing, Bill, you mentioned as far as Mormons are concerned, I mean, they have definitions too. And so for somebody who says, well, I'm a Latter-day Saint, I just reject Joseph Smith, I reject the standard works, I reject Thomas Monson as being someone inspired, I think that the Mormon would have every right to be able to say, well, you're not really a Latter-day Saint. That's a judgment call based on the definition.
Definitely. Now let's get back to C.S. Lewis. You got up to the ellipses. Now
we got there, then he says, when a man who accepts the Christian doctrine lives unworthily of it, it is much clearer to say he is a bad Christian than to say he is not a Christian. And he has the footnote, or the endnote actually, and it says C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, pages 10 and 11. Now, I'm a big C.S. Lewis fan, and so I certainly have Mere Christianity. It's one of my favorite works. And I wanted to see how he quoted this, because according to what this quote looks like, it sure looks like nobody should be able to judge who is or is not a Christian.
In other words, Millett is implying that C.S. Lewis agrees with Millett's premise that it's wrong for anybody to ever say that another person cannot be a Christian.
Absolutely. Okay, and so then I went to the book, and it's going to take me a little while to read this section in the middle.
I think it's important, though. You need to read it.
I'm going to read this. And so you've heard the original quote from Millett's book. This is what he left out in the middle. And this is what Lewis writes. And obviously a word which we can never apply is not going to be a very useful word. As for the unbelievers, they will no doubt cheerfully use the word as in the refined sense. It will become in their mouth simply a term of praise. In calling anyone a Christian, they will mean that they think him a good man. But that way of using the word will be no enrichment of the language, for we already have the word good. Meanwhile, the word Christian will have been spoiled for any really useful purpose it might have served. We must therefore stick to the original obvious meaning. The name Christians was first given at Antioch, and he quotes it as Acts 11:26. Given to the disciples, to those who accepted the teaching of the apostles, there is no question of its being restricted to those who profited by that teaching as much as they should have. There is no question of it being extended to those who in some refined spiritual inward fashion were, quote, far closer to the Spirit of Christ, end quote, than the less satisfactory of the disciples. The point is not a theological or moral one. It is only a question of using words so that we can all understand what is being said.
That sounds very similar to what B.B. Warfield said.
Absolutely.
From Princeton. He said, if you're going to give any religion the title of Christian, then Christian has no meaning whatsoever. You can't apply it indiscriminately to everything. That is our issue. If you're a Latter-day Saint listening to this show, please understand. I wish you would allow us the courtesy of at least trying to understand why we have these objections. We are not at all implying that LDS people are bad people
not
or immoral people.
Right.
But there are certain things that make a Christian, historically, there are certain things that have made a Christian what he is. And of course, the major issue is, what does that person believe, and what do they go by? And this is where our beef lies. It's the Mormon Church has come up with all sorts of non-biblical teachings. Joseph Smith does not meet the biblical requirements of a true prophet of God, and that concerns us because so many well-meaning people are following these teachings, but yet they are not supported by God's word.
Well, and this book, Bill, is written for lay people, and if you didn't know any better, if you didn't have a copy of Mere Christianity, you wouldn't be able to check this out. Those ellipses are pretty dangerous. You can make anything out of anything that's written.
We get accused of that too, and so we know you have to be very careful when you use ellipses and make sure that what you leave out doesn't kind of change the course of the conversation in that particular section.
And I feel that center section I just read contradicts the point that Millett was trying to make.
In other words, there are certain things that make a Christian what he is, and we cannot redefine that. And that is really what we have been saying for years. And I wish our Mormon friends would understand that. But sadly, it's almost as if they don't want to understand that. And that is really sad, because I guess as long as they can demonize us and accuse us of having ill motives, that somehow justifies their existence as Latter-day Saints. And that's a sad way to look at it. There are a lot of things that Millett has said about C.S. Lewis and other Mormons have said about C.S. Lewis that we certainly need to talk about again. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to look at this again in our next show tomorrow. But again, I think it proves our point. Here we are. They say, if you want to know what Mormonism believes, go to a Mormon. We go to a Mormon, and what do we find? They are misrepresenting. We need to be careful about that, folks. You need to look very carefully at what's being said. Look at it very, very closely in order to draw your conclusion. So, at least in this case, we find out that unfortunately, Dr. Millett has misrepresented C.S. Lewis, and we're going to look at this more tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.